It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Good to see my compatriot.
How
Captain
you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Good. Me too. We don't ever get a chance to talk. We say that every week, just about.
We text some, but
yeah, we just don't get a chance to talk. We come in here and you start fooling with the board, and off we go.
Exactly. So yeah. You want the update?
Yeah, I want the update. What's going on?
If you happen to be looking for a 100-inch 8-point,
yeah,
90-inch 8-point. If you've lost 90-inch 8-points off your place, it's probably because they're on my place right now. The rut's going, but driving me berserk.
I
think every deer that scores,
mine,
yeah. gotcha. Oh my gosh!
I did have to. My Dylan's buddy killed it.
But there you go. So the rest of them came on our place. It's been rut activity is wide open for our little area of Mobile County.
Yeah,
and we are a lot more like the Black Belt versus areas just north of us in Washington County that have that later rut.
Yeah.
You know, I put a picture up, one of the pictures I put up from, I burned this last weekend, that tells you how excited I was about hunting. I burned about 100 acres, did a control burn, and it was really cool riding through after the burn, because all the scrapes, we got that sandy soil. So you go through the blacked out woods, and there's these white dots up and down the roads and logging roads and all that stuff. And the scrapes, because they had moved all the fuel out of there, didn't get burned. And
right.
It's a good way to go find your scrapes.
And then you can go find sheds.
Yeah, that's true. You can come out having jeans that look like mine that have, charcoal all over them. Hey, it's great to have our guest on this week. Always good to talk to this man. And I have so many questions for him. Lake Pickle, and you know him from Primos. Maybe you now know him from On X. Good to hear from you. How you been? Happy New Year. Congratulations on being a honest man now and married and all that good stuff, man. Good. Congratulations all around.
Yeah, it's been a big year, to say the least.
There goes your hunting, though, Lake. You may be ending your hunting.
I know, man. It's been an adjustment, but it's all been good things. You know what I mean? All in one year, I'm still working with Primos, but transitioned to more of an On-X role and got married. It's been a very, very, very different year, 2022, but it was a good year.
Well, if you're going to do it big. Of course, y'all know he talks about his work with Primos and the Speak the Language podcast that I love. You've seen him on countless videos. And I got to check it. Speaking of that, How was elk hunting this year?
Elk was great, man. It was like kind of one of those things, like, because when I left Primos in a full time role, it was kind of one of those deals where I was like, man, I'd love to elk hunt with them again, but I didn't know if I was going to get that phone call or not.
Yeah.
And when they called and asked me to come, I was like, yes.
Yeah, that's right. They
I just got married, but yeah.
They barely got it out of their mouth. You're like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, so I got married, and I got married at the end of July, and then I had all of August, and then beginning of September, I was gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the good thing, like, Lacey, my wife, she dated me, her and I dated for 2 years prior to us getting married, and those 2 years I was full-time with Primos, and so me being gone was nothing new.
Yeah, and that's a good. I mean, that's a good thing too. That she had that experience, and then you also say, "This is the way I am." There's a lot of times some women will say, "Well, he didn't hunt and fish very much," and then we got married, and after 3 or 4 years, he started hunting and fishing. It's good to be like Mike and I are, and like you are, Lake. That y'all, what you see is what you get. You know, going into it, ladies, this is
It took me 5 years to talk my wife into all that I was going to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, you kicked your
She finally caved
time.
In.
Yeah.
So
elk season was like it always was. I mean, as far as time gone, but then rolling into deer season and everything else, like, don't get me wrong, I stretched my legs and did my hunting, but it was nothing compared to being gone like I was when I was with Primos. So it's been a, as far as being married, I guess it's been a good thing on the change in job side. It's been a very positive thing because I am home a lot more than I was when I was full time with Primos.
Now, when you're home, are you still hunting around the house?
A little bit, honestly, not. I mean, I'm probably going to get some interesting responses from y'all on this one. I have electively deer hunted less this year than I have in the past decade. I've deer hunted with Primos a little bit. I've filmed Brad shoot a big 6-point. Everyone knows how I feel about big 6 points.
Yeah, we all do.
Other than that, like the energy that I've spent for hunting otherwise has been spent on things with feathers.
You know, and you had your – and I'm not going to – Mike may give you grief. And you had your – I heard Jordan ribbing you the other day talking about that. I sent you some pictures of the new addition to my crew. You know, you got a friendly ear with me. I get it. I used to probably bird hunt a lot more than I do now. I probably bird hunt less older than I used to. It's a lot of fun. People hadn't done it and not running their own dog. That may be something that they don't understand either. When it's your dog, it makes it – to me, it just makes it all the better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got Knox. When I got Knox, we were still at Cottonmouth on the Mississippi River, and I got him with the intention of just being a pure duck dog, and then I got into upland hunting. And, I have Knox to blame for pretty much all of my bird hunting obsession. So, I mean, yeah, Knox and I, we've done ruffed grouse this year. We've done pheasants in the four different states. We've done sharp-tailed grouse, done waterfowl in Montana. We've duck hunted down here. I mean, yeah, we've done our fair share of chasing birds and ducks.
Yeah. Well, I want to
pick pretty busy.
Yeah, and I want to pick that apart. But you said something like we just go from, one thing I'm thinking to the next. Things I haven't told Lake. Mm-hmm. So the Cottonmouth thing, and you and I talked, Well, I'm a guy from Southwest Alabama, but hunted along the river here, but hunted in the Mississippi Delta a long time, and looked at the shade of that levee for a long time, and I lamented with you that just year after year, the massive flood that was hitting Mississippi, even backing up, beyond and not being able to let water out, not just inside the levee, but outside and Steel Bayou and all that stuff flooding, and then this year when they were saying the Mississippi River was so low, they were having trouble getting barges up the river. I said, I wonder what Lake is saying about this. I wonder what Jordan's saying about this. Were y'all like, you got to be kidding me.
Man, there's not. I mean, like, there's not a fall that goes by that we don't get asked multiple times about, do you miss Cottonmouth? Do you wish you were still at Cottonmouth? And, or do you regret where y'all are at now? I mean, because we've moved twice since then. Primos has. And, I mean, there's positives to everything. Like, when we were at Kudzu Bluff, the turkey hunting at Kudzu Bluff was excellent. Cottonmouth didn't have turkeys, So there's pros and cons to everything. But I would be lying through my teeth if I said I didn't miss hunting along that river every single fall. It was that was a very, very special place. And while obviously the cons that come along with that is you learn that river – that river does not care. That river is going to do what it's going to do. And you're either in the wake of it or you're reaping the benefits of it. And for 3 years in a row, it was rough on us. It was rough on the deer. It was rough on everything. But man, when it was good, it was good.
Yeah. That's the thing about the river. You're right. It was just after all those 3 years of that ridiculous high water. And then to be hearing this year, the story of it low, I thought about you when that story first hit. I said, I wonder what Lake is saying. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Now we got a low river. I don't know what it's doing right now. I hadn't watched it. I don't know if it's coming up or not. But it would have been a good year to get in there.
But it happens here, too. It's happened, in the Alabama Tom Bigby River. There's been, probably 3 or 4 or 5 years almost in a row that the hunters hadn't been able to hunt in
Mike,
the river.
Well, Mike, I left hunting on the Tom Bigby maybe a little before Lake left the Mississippi River, but I still, because I'm full, I lease land back on the river. Even though I hunt in the longleaf pines and all that stuff, I still have a place on the river because I like to smell that mud.
You are a river rat.
I have
That's what we call you. But anyway, the river coming up has messed everybody up in the last few years. But there again, this year, but in the Mississippi River is different. But over here, it's been high again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's messed to hunting up here.
Yeah, unless you got the high ground right next to the swamp.
Right.
That's a whole other story.
Yep.
Just joining us, talking to Lake Pickle. Of course, you know him with Primos and Onyx, and I want to talk about that as well. And we're close to the break, so I'll set this up, and then we'll come back. So you named off the upland species and waterfowl as well that you went and hunted. Let's start with the one that seems like, to me, be the hardest to find, but maybe not, and that's rough grouse. Where do you go? I mean, where do you go for – who's got a good population of those?
You go to the Northwoods, man. Like, I was I wasn't far from Canada when I was up there. I was in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
And what – I mean, the Northwoods, we all got a picture of what that looks like, but what does that look like? I mean, is it around clear cuts? Is it a big, way old, you know, evergreens? Or where do you find them?
You find them in brush and woods and cover that you stand in, and you go, how in the world am I ever going to shoot a bird and stuff this thick? That's where you find them.
Yeah.
It's not like swinging on some quail that are going out through some, you know, 40 basal density longleaf pines. Not the same?
I caught myself. I mean, like, I went up there with the mindset of, like, everyone refers to the rough grouse as the king, you mm-hmm. know? And since I had fallen in, you know, with love with upland hunting, I wanted to do it. And if I'm being completely honest, in the first walk that we made on the first day of hunting, I was 200 yards in, and I was going, you know, maybe I'll just stick to pheasants.
What have I wished myself into? We'll come back more with Lake Pickle coming up right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Yeah, we'll get some update on the king and those other upland species and how Knox did. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our friend Lake Pickle. Know him through Primos, also on X. We're going to talk about that, which, by the way, I don't know if I get a star or a t-shirt or a hat or something. I set up on X on two guys' phones on New Year's Eve. Guys, we had a party at the farm.
Yeah.
Guys said, what is that thing you're always running, the thing you ran, you know, out west and you run back here? I said, it's on X. They said, all right. Sign us up. So I don't know if I get a bird dog fee. Speaking of bird dogs, if I get a bird dog fee or not, Lake, but put me in the hat for that.
I'm gonna have to send you a Christmas basket next year.
There we go. See, I'm an ambassador. We're gonna get to Onyx coming up,
and it is great. We use it for business.
Yeah,
you know,
Mike's in the land sales business.
Yeah, I sell land, and we use it in the land selling business, and it is awesome. I was showing 1,150 acres last week. And I was able to use the tracking on it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
yeah.
and we've just on one side of the property, we went 10 and a half miles, and I was able to show the people, you know, this is 1,150 acres, and we've just been on one side, and we haven't even seen all of it, and look, we've been 10 and a half miles. I mean, it's unbelievable, mm-hmm. but I love the tracking on it.
Well, you know what the tracking is also good for is like when I'm bird hunting. If I'm quail hunting or if I'm turkey hunting, I put the tracking feature on, and then when I get back, I see how many miles I walked, which lets me have a bigger lunch or bigger dinner when I go, I'm going to have thirds.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I walked 4 miles today chasing that turkey. I can have thirds. It's an added benefit. Maybe, Lake, y'all put that in the advertising. Helps you rationalize eating more.
Yeah, we're gonna for Southerners, we're gonna put in a feature where it shows how many calories you burned.
Yes,
and further that cause.
See, honey, I can have another plate of fried shrimp because look what I walked chasing that turkey. We're talking about your bird hunting trip with Knox. So go after rough grouse. Is that so? For somebody listening down here, and this is a good Onyx question: is it all private up there or public land? I mean, what's available for somebody who wants to take a dog and go?
So there's a mix of both, but it's like it's hard to fathom for someone like y'all or me that grew up down here, just the amount of public access that is available up there. From my understanding, friends of mine that have hunted up there as well said that they've gotten private land access as well just by asking for permission. But we didn't have to do that on the rough grouse trip. We were just using publicly accessed lands and were able to find birds. Now, like I said, we may have been able to find the amount of birds that we found simply because we were the only ones crazy enough to trek through all that thick stuff. But that's where you have to go to find a rough grouse. So that's where we were.
How do you make? We're actually during the news break there talking about woodcock as well. That, you know, in some of those same areas, and we got them down here. They often, like, when I've been hunting woodcock down here, it's like I've not been able to get my shotgun to my shoulder. Sometimes you talk about, like, you know, briars or vines and stuff like that. I mean, how do you make a shot on a rough grouse through that kind of stuff?
So the first grouse that I shot at, I flat out missed. I mean, like, didn't even cut a feather. But it was the most, like, it was like the Lord was proving to me that everything my friends that had done that before was, that what they had told me was true. Because, like, I was in an alder thicket. I mean, I could see my friend George's dog on point. I had Knox. I kind of eased Knox into it because it was just so different than any of the upland hunting we had done. So I just had Knox sitting at heel watching this English pointer that was on point. And I can see the deadfall logs, which I'd watched enough YouTube videos and read enough articles. I was like, that makes sense that there's a grouse in there. But I'm looking around. I'm going, I can't even swing my gun 6 inches. Like, how am I going to do this?
Right.
And finally, the bird flushes, and I just kind of, like, projected my gun towards him the best that I could and shot, and, you know, off flew the grouse unscathed. But that's what you run into out there, man. Like, later on in the trip, when Knox had gotten more of the hang of it, Knox found a bird and flushed it, and I never even saw it. And I was standing right next to Knox. I couldn't even see the bird. It's just, you're hunting them in thick, thick stuff. That's where they want to be.
Did you kill many?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We did. It's just like you miss or don't get shots at more than you kill by a long shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not.
But there was, we were able to find a good many birds, enough, so much so that we were able to kill a good many birds for sure.
They are cool birds. Yeah, we were talking during the break, and I went bear hunting up in Saskatchewan, Canada, and I had several of those come by me. They were strutting and doing some kind of a drumming that I've never heard of before, making a noise, but they were beautiful birds. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked just like a miniature turkey come strutting by you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saved, I think, 4 or 5 fans from grouse that I killed because they looked like little miniature turkey fans, and I wanted to hang them in the house somewhere, you know?
Yeah, beautiful birds.
You beat me to it because I was going to ask you the question, did you save the fans? That's cool. That's cool. So then you leave thicket country, and then did you go from there to hunt pheasant, or what order was it in?
So, I did 2 separate trips that were long. This one particularly, I went to Wisconsin, Minnesota with, those friends of mine, left there and went over to some parts, and I hunted Minnesota some, and then I went over to South Dakota and hunted pheasants for a couple of days. That was a special trip all its own, simply because Knox had been pheasant hunting since he was under a year old, like the first time he went, and so he'd been on several hunts. But that little second part of that Wisconsin Minnesota trip was the first trip that I took him on where he was the only, it was just me and him, so he didn't have another pointer to fall back on, or, you know, it was, if we were going to find any birds, it was up to him to do it. And we had a lot of success, killed a good many pheasants, and I was one proud dog owner.
Yep. There's something to be said when it's, you know, it's the same thing to be said when you're, you know, quail hunting by yourself or doing whatever, and you miss and you go, you know, I missed. There was nobody else to back me up. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your dog, though, that your dog didn't just find and back another dog. It did it all its own. There's a great satisfaction.
Yeah, and it was, my buddy Ben Bredigan that I work with at OnX, and I worked with him at Primo's prior to that, actually. But Ben was kind of like the whole reasoning for me getting into upland hunting in the first place. Ben's a big bird dog guy. He's got 2 Deutsch Drahthaars and 1 English pointer, and he upland hunts a lot. And I always fall back on him for advice. But I was telling him it was fun in these hunts that I got to do this year because I pretty much watched Knox figure out that he had to hunt different because he was the only dog out there. And I could see him figuring out that out. He was searching areas a lot more meticulously. It was a lot of fun.
Now, so you said two separate trips. So that was one that included. Then did you have a? Because you talked about sharptail, which is super interesting to me too. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you pheasant hunt when you were in sharptail country, or was it just a sharptail trip? How did that happen? Because that's on out there.
I had the crazy idea. I loaded up my truck. I was back home from the Wisconsin and Minnesota trip that was done. I'd been home for a couple weeks, and then I loaded up my dog and my truck, and I left Rankin County, Mississippi, and I drove all the way to eastern Montana.
Woo!
And
well, there you go.
We hunted. It's crazy. I know it's crazy, but I couldn't help myself. Because it was like any dog owner will understand this. It's like I could have flown up there, and it was a hunt with some of the Onyx guys. And I could have flown up there and hunted with those guys and flown back, but I'm to the point now, it's like if I'm shooting birds of any sort and I don't have my dog, it's like half as fun.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, absolutely.
And I've always wanted to, you know, let Knox hunt, you know, that kind of stuff. And so we drove up there and we hunted sharptails for a few days. We found some geese and some dry fields, and we shot, had couple good, really good Canada goose hunts, and we had some mallards fly into that field, and that was the first time I'd shot ducks on a dry field. That was awesome. And then driving back home, I cut across South Dakota, and we did some more pheasant hunting. So that's where the two separate trips came in.
Now, on the sharptail world, it's funny, I was just looking at some pictures. I got a new dog, and his the owner of the parents, he's got quite a few of them, but he'll take them out, and he works out through Oregon, but he stops in Montana for sharptails every year. And it's just some of the hunts he's filmed and all that. It's, I got to do it. It looks fantastic. What's the country like? I mean, it's pretty dry out there in eastern Montana, right?
Yeah, it's so, like, I don't think I can give you a proper representation of sharptail hunting the way that the guys that you've probably heard talk about it, because they're probably hunting them in the early season.
Yeah, he said September or something like that. He said,
yeah,
it opens that early. Yeah.
So we got up there, and it was in early December, and Ben and the other guys were telling me, they were like, look, I know you want to kill a sharptail, because I did. Like, sharptail was on the list of birds I hadn't been able to hunt and all that. They were like, we definitely, it's a possibility we do that, but when you get to this point in the year, they are a different animal. They're, like, super spooky. And so, like, I was able to kill a good many of them, but it was because we had a lot of people and we're able to kind of cover a lot of ground. They wouldn't hold. Like, in September, a dog can find them and you get 10 yards of them before they flush. This was not the case. So, like I said, we were able to find success, but it was not like, and it was a lot of fun, but it's not like they do it in December.
Yeah, they're wise to you.
Yeah, yeah. But what was cool, man, like, too, is, like, you don't realize how much those birds grow. Like, because they were like, yeah, if you do kill them in December, they're going to be some big birds. And you see pictures of, like, friends of mine that hunt sharpies in September compared to the grouse that we shot. Like, they're the size of a yard chicken, man. It's crazy.
Are they they, most of them first-year birds, you know, what's carryover? Or are they, I mean, how much of a flock do you know? I mean, how much of them are, like, you know,
man,
older?
I would be lying if I tried to tell you, to be honest. I don't think they get much older than three or four, but I may be wildly off on that. I'm not as in tune to sharptail ecology as I'd like to be one day.
No, well, I've imagined you're heading that way. It sounds like it. We're coming back more with Lake Pickle. Talk more about birds and Knox. We might get into some deer hunting talk. And, yeah, what Mike and I said about Onyx, you know, I started with that, starting hunting out west. But, heck, I use it back home, too. We'll talk about that when we return.
Yep.
FM Talk 106.5 and FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Always a treat, man. I enjoyed this guy's company on the radio. Although he and I have been talking about this for a while. I've been trying to pry him into coming down and going fishing with you and I, Mike, or turkey hunting down here. And he knows the way to Mobile, so maybe we'll get him down here. Lake, once again, the invitation's open again.
I appreciate it.
Need to bring Will and Jimmy down here. They'd love it too.
Why would you want to mess up a good trip?
See, we'll put them in one boat, and you and I'll go in the other boat. Like, we'll work it out that way. You know, we went to the break and we talked a lot about birds, but let's go to birds being waterfowl here and get the update from Mississippi, because a few showed up. It got cold enough finally there around Christmas that it saw something that I hadn't seen in a while. A few birds showed up. They even killed some mallards down here on this end. They didn't last long. So what did it do up there? Mm-hmm. What did it do for y'all up there? Y'all get some birds?
Almost identical to what you just stated. It's like, it's confusing for me, the weather here, and I've lived here my entire life. It's been even funnier describing the weather in detail to some of my coworkers at Allnex that live in Montana. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a meeting with some of them today, and I'm like, guys, it's 77 degrees where I'm at right now. And they're like, weren't you busting ice for ducks like a couple of days ago? And I'm like, yeah, I was. That's how it goes. But to answer your question, when the weather did get really cold, we did have a good stretch of ducks. I've been able to get on a handful of good hunts. I've been able to hunt probably a couple times each week, which is always fun because I get to take knocks, and anytime I get to hunt the dog, I'm happy. But as you could imagine, as soon as this warm weather pushed in, the duck hunting slowed down tremendously. So it's been a decent season. It hasn't been a barn burner by any stretch, but it's not been a bad one. I've definitely had worse.
Yeah, you don't have to look back too far for worse. Everything's relative. Everything's relative. If, you know, we could only just, move to Missouri, Oklahoma during duck season, it might be different.
Kansas.
Loaded. Yeah. Kansas, yep. For sure. Mike gets a report. He's out there deer hunting, you know, on his place, chasing big bucks. And our communications are a little bit, the deer he's seeing, he's like, well, this deer is 160 inches. This deer is 170. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So how many ducks did you see?
Lots of ducks. All the ponds got ducks on them.
Oh, Kansas. Yeah. That's a whole nother story. Yeah. Actually, it's a decent transition there, though, because, you know, talking about bird hunting and public land. And, you know, we talk about deer hunting in public land in places like Kansas, whether it's truly public land or that weehaw, that walk-in hunting area stuff. That's some way that, I mean, we did it before. When I used to go out there in the 90s a bunch. We'd go to Nebraska and Kansas and take our labs back then, and my buddy had a Boykin, and we'd go hunt quail and pheasant and duck out there. But we always had to figure out what side of a line we were on. Those days are over. I'll tell you what, Onyx gave me confidence out west hunting. That's how I guess why I got it all those years ago, so I didn't step on some rancher's land. But whether you're in the prairies bird hunting or back home here, what is the increase here? I mean, you're part of the Onyx team. You're the southeastern guy. Obviously, they see some growth in the southeast, right?
Right, for sure. Yeah, they do. It's been fun to be a part of that.
I mean, how do people use it here? Yeah.
Explain to people what Onyx is. I mean, that's, you know, we say Onyx.
That's true.
People say, what is Onyx? What are they talking about?
Sure.
What's Onyx? Is that a new phone or a camera? Or what are we talking about, Onyx?
So I'll explain that to you with a short story that kind of popped in my head when you were talking about hunting Kansas in the 90s. So just this past week, like I was saying earlier, I've been able to duck hunt, you know, a little bit each week, even when it slowed down. A friend of mine got a draw at a local WMA that's historically a good spot for ducks.
And I know which one.
It's a draw spot, and if you draw a place, you can bring four people with you. So he invited me to come.
Oh, the two name one, not the one name one, the one that has two names. The two name?
Oh, no. I mean, I could say Mahana. Like,
okay.
I don't mind, like, because Mahana's a draw spot.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Mahana's draw. And then
yeah, Mahana is no secret by any chance.
No, I was talking about the other one. Let's keep the other one secret, though. The one just, yeah.
So we went there, and I hunted that place a ton in high school. And this is how much the world has changed. It's like, you know, I was, before leading up to this spot, I pulled up Mahana on Onyx and was dissecting it, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, what I wouldn't give to have had this tool when I was hunting it all the time in high school. Because back then, I remember I'd load up in my Jeep Grand Cherokee with three other buddies, and we would remember get off at this exit and go down this road until mm-hmm. you see the brown sign that says, you know, Mahana, and you turn in there, and if you get this hole, you drive until you, I mean, it was all like by memory, where now we just pull it up on the phone. But yeah, OnX is a app on iPhone or Android or desktop, however you want to access it, and it is a mobile map designed for hunting. And so there's aerial imagery maps. There's hybrid maps. That's where you have your aerial photos and topography lines. There's solely topography maps. There's more features than I can mention in a single episode. There's current conditions like wind direction. There's tracker. There's tree species layers. There's all kinds of stuff. But it is a GPS map on your phone that shows property lines, public and private, that
shows landowners. Owns the land.
Shows landowners, shows what public land you own. The list of things that it can do goes on and on.
Okay, it's really good. I'm bringing it up on desktop so Mike can laugh, as he always does, because like on that one track, you can drop enough waypoints on it that if you're zoomed out enough on our farm, you cannot actually, Mike, can you see the farm?
No, you can't see the farm. No, so many dots and things on there, no.
I'll tell you, the thing I use it for, I mean, outside of hunting, I mean, we're burning this weekend, you know, use it for wind direction and fire lines and all that. Another thing is, if you look on here, some of these icons, so I trap, right? And if anybody runs a lot of traps, I mean, if you're running like dog proofs or whatever, you know, running coon traps, and if you're putting 50 traps out, and I'm getting older, I forget where they all are.
Sure.
So I mark them all. I mean, seriously, once you spring them and, you know, you've run them and you're like, did we have three down this road or two? You pull up the thing, you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a whole other side of it, too. You know, when you start getting maybe forgetful. I don't know if you get forgetful, but
man, so like,
you will.
Elk season this year, Brad and I were on a bull and sometimes, like, depending on the situation, you get into a situation where you know I need to move up 50 yards, I need to move here, I need to move there, and you have to make these moves fast, you know, while you have time to do it without spooking anything. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been hunting or filming elk, and you have to make a quick move, and you don't have time to pick up your backpack or things like that. Well, that happened with Brad this year. We needed to move to get to, you know, it was just one of those things, like Brad and I looked at each other and knew it was like, we got to get to this spot if we're going to kill this bull. Well, when you get on this mountainside, sometimes you're in some really thick, monotonous woods. You know, it all kind of just starts looking the same, oak mm-hmm. brush and pine trees. And we've lost things in those woods. And so I knew we were moving. I dropped a waypoint on where we were standing. And then after we killed the bull, I was like, where's my backpack at? And I was able to just walk right to it.
Yeah, or you could have put tracking on, and you could have walked right back your tracking and found it.
Yeah. Oh, I run a track. You think about leaving a turkey track on yourself is impressive. Like, I used to do it when we'd spend a whole day chasing elk. Man, I earned myself a couple quarter pounders from doing that.
I mean, seriously, get in there. Seriously, not seriously. In the development, I know you're in marketing, but go to development said, as a tracker goes, every certain distance and factor in the terrain and topography, mm-hmm. and it comes up with like a Big Mac icon. Like, you've now achieved, you now achieved the chicken sandwich. You've now achieved, you keep going, you'll get two chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, you earned a large combo.
Well, the other thing I like about it, too, is if you got a lake on your property and you say, well, I wonder how big that lake is on this piece of property I'm showing or whatever, I can go around and draw the lake out and find out how big the lake is.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We have guys that do that for mapping out food plots.
That's what I'm about to say. That is.
Guys say that they, you
is
know,
it an acre, half acre?
Because, well, they used to just kind of have to estimate how many acres they needed to plant. Well, now they map it out and they can order the seed and fertilizer specific to that, and they're not, you know, wasting money anymore.
Y'all are describing me there. That's absolutely true. So
me too.
I mean, it'd be funny if like Lee Davis out of G&D, when I'll say I need this exact, you know, it's like, you know, whatever it is, it's 20.68 acres I'm planting this season. He said 6.68. What do you? I said, well, I'm telling you right now, I drew every one of them out. Yep. You know, every patch, and it's been a real thing when people can say, well, how many acres of patches you plant, and I tell them, they're like, oh, is that estimate? No, that's exactly how many acres, yeah. You know? Yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, we used to have to estimate. I mean, we'd be planting 30 acres when we only had 20 acres, you know?
Yep.
And you're buying all that extra fertilizer, all that extra seasoning, and the fields look great. But you spend a lot of extra money.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, the uses for that place go on and on. I know guys, like I said, Sean, you probably do this. They mark what areas they burned and mark what areas they plan on burning. It goes on and on.
Let's show Mike and listen. Yeah, while we're doing this,
he's got at least
see everything in red
dots on his property.
But see every red component on that screen right here.
X's, dots.
The red lines are burn components.
Yep.
See those?
The yellow lines are fields.
Inside the burn components. Yeah, I changed the color on that. Yeah, I'm obsessive. We're coming right back. Forward Lake Pickle with Primos and OnX. Yeah, check them out. Even if you don't plan on going to the North Woods or out west, just right here at home in Alabama. Good tool. Be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our friend Lake Pickle. Know that name from a lot of Primos videos, Primos social media, the Speak the Language podcast, one of my favorites out there. And on X, you're in charge of getting people fired up about on X, right? That's what marketing is, getting people fired up.
I would say yes, that's a part of the job, very much so. The fun part of the job.
It it's a cool thing because, I mean, to properly fire people up, you need to take knocks and go do these adventures out there and take pictures of it and tell them how you found the spots.
That's what I say. I mean, I try to convince them that would be my only job, but, you know, there's other things I have to do. But I still get to do that part.
Well, the easy way, though, is to go on radio shows and talk about OnX.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I guarantee you there's going to be plenty of people go and look up OnX and be buying OnX.
And let's explain that, too. If people, okay, because this the guys that were sitting there on New Year's Eve with me that was setting it up on their phones. They said, well, I'm not like you, Sean. I don't need all the stuff out west. You can just get it for your state if you're not going to travel outside your state, right? I mean, you can piece it together how you want.
You definitely can. Yeah, there's a OnX Premium and OnX Elite. And Premium is just you pick one state and go from there.
But it's not that pricey. I mean, really?
Yeah, I forget because I got it on the auto bill, embarrassingly enough. What is it?
Yeah, man, I tell you, so, like, we've added it up. So, like, even if, like, so if you do the elite version is, like, all 50 states, all the elite benefits, all the elite features that you don't get through premium, even if you chose the most expensive one, that's $100 a year.
Yeah.
You think about it, I mean, like, what you're paying monthly, and then talk about, you know, what we used to do to try to replace what OnX fills the void for, flat maps and spending your, like, how much time you'd spend trying to figure out seed and acreage, and if you want to try to ask permission, driving around door to door and not knowing where boundary lines are. It's like if you format, you know, you think about spending $100 a year for all this in the palm of my hand. It's like it's not that hard of a sell, you know.
No, it didn't to me. Yeah, you know,
and for me, using it for business wise, when I want to go show somebody a property corner, man, I can go just right to it. And OnX, I mean, it'll put you right on the corner of the property. You might have to look around, you know, within 5 or 10 yards or feet or so, but you'll find a pin or you'll find a post there or you'll find something usually to show you the corner of the property.
Yeah. It's accurate. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So
what's cool is there's a feature. This is what I tell people. It's like one of the features that I find most valuable that I think people are underutilized or don't know about. There's a tree species layer. And like down here, there's a layer you can turn on within tree species that's deciduous versus coniferous, which in our terms, that means pines and hardwoods. And last year, I turned that filter on, and I found so many different edges on the property they were hunting, and I was able to use that to identify where some turkeys were roosting, and Brad and I were able to kill a turkey because of that layer. And there's so many use cases for being able to, you know, just pinpoint edges like that real quick without having to walk all over a property.
And don't they, and I have not, I was joking about the fact there's all these features I don't use because I get so busy using the
ones
I do.
That's one you didn't know, isn't it?
I knew about it. I've heard Lake talk about it before, but I haven't used it. The other one, there's like a crop layer, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a crop layer. That one's like, I mean, I use that one for waterfowl, use it for ducks. I mean, waterfowl and ducks, same thing. I use it for turkeys. I mean, but yeah, there's a crop layer.
What they planted, Mike. It's pretty cool.
All kinds of stuff in there.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. Yeah, it gives you, and I mean, if there'd been a lot more critters dead, maybe if I had this when I was young, you know, and hunting so much public land. But I use it so much on private land as it is now.
I didn't know that was on there. It shows you, it tells you what kind of crop was planted. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it shows you the, like the, so like now it would show you, since we're in 23, it would show you what was planted there in 2022.
Okay. That, I mean, we got Mike's attention on that one. I mean, speaking of Kansas, I mean, that'd
be. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'd use it all the time.
Man, what we do with phones nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, I remember standing at a unnamed WMA inside a big national forest there in the South Mississippi River Delta, unnamed. Yeah. Sunflowers are pretty this time of year. So I'm there, and a buddy of mine who worked for Aldot had one of the fancy, I mean, I think one of us had a flip phone back then. He had the, like, a first smartphone. We're hunting a green tree reservoir, and the front's coming. And he could hear light, and he goes, oh, well, hold on. He opens up his phone, and the first time I ever saw radar on a phone, I looked at this guy and said, Lord, I have arrived.
Yeah.
I can hunt to the last minute. I can get out right after. I mean, to me, that was, and then to look where we are these years later, it's amazing.
Oh, anything you want's on your phone.
That's it.
Makes it better for us out there. Speaking of the telephone, if people want to check out on social media platforms, pictures of rough grouse or Knox picking up ducks, or maybe you might go deer hunt, you know, you go kill a big one and put it on there. How do they find you, Lake?
So I'm pretty easy to find. To my knowledge, I'm still the only Lake Pickle that's out there. So if you just type in Lake Pickle on Instagram, I'll be the first one to pop up. And then you can find Onyx on there as well. Just type in Onyx Hunt, because there's an Onyx off-road app. There's an Onyx backcountry app. So if you want the one that we're talking about, type in Onyx Hunt, and you'll find us that way.
Yeah. I've been, every time I open the Hunt app, I see the off-road or the, I don't know what's in there, and I don't know if I have time to dare to go look.
That's, I didn't even know that was available.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you when we wrap up for the day. Lake, as always, man, I appreciate it. Best of luck in 2023. Hopefully we'll get you back on. Maybe we'll get you back on before they start gobbling. Maybe we talk a little turkey with you.
You know how to get a hold of me.
Will do. There he is, Lake Pickle, joining us right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We'll see you all next week.